Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, Communicating in Advance of a Miss, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, how can I help my team meet deadlines? How should I communicate with my team about their tasks and deliverables? And how should I address missed deadlines? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Hey folks, if you need to get everyone trained on your team, but you're worried about loss of productivity because you do have an opportunity cost when you send people to training, we can present a virtual effective manager conference for up to 30 people in your organization in three sessions that all are 2.5 hours or less. So that's only a total of 7.5 hours spread out over the course of 2 or 3 days, maybe one day a week or something like that. Much less difficult to do than an all-day in-person event. That's the beauty of virtual. And of course, you can invite people from different time zones and there wouldn't be travel costs as well. If those things appeal to you for us delivering virtual training to you, contact Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at manager-tools.com. Thanks.
So this is different.
Yeah, very. You guys aren't used to hearing our voices, are you?
You may have come here expecting Mark and Mike, and we have some exciting news for y'all. Sarah and I will be recording many of our Manager Tools casts together going forward.
We will.
And we're really excited.
We are.
And,
as you can tell.
Yeah. Mark and Mike will be recording executive tools from here on out. So if you still want to hear Mark and Mike, we are happy to provide you with executive tools as part of a recurring personal license. And those casts start June 30th, 2021. And we're recording this in June of 2021. So just so you know, if you're listening at another time. And we thought that as we get started here, we might give you guys just a little bit of background about us because you may never have heard us, and you may never have heard of us.
Very good point. Very good point.
So yeah. So Sarah, why don't you give us a little bit of background about you, and then I'll go, and then we'll get started.
Okay. Well, if you've never heard or heard of me before, my name is Sarah Sentis. I am the Canadian component, I'm going to say, of Manager Tools. I live in Edmonton, Alberta, and I am the individual responsible for, here at Manager Tools, all of our public conferences. Those conferences you see, that conference newsletter you receive with a schedule of locations virtually and in person. I'm the person that organizes those events, that chooses those locations, that allows for those individual managers of you out there who are unable to bring us in-house to your organization to come join us at our various locations. And Kate, you.
I am Kate Horstman, and I am here at Manager Tools responsible for the client side of our business. So organizing, timing, logistics, things like that, revenue associated with that business stream. And for anybody who's looking for us to come on site, if you're looking for that, we're happy to do it, especially because things are opening back up here in June of 2021. So there's a lot more opportunity for that. And we've got a great cast. I'm actually really excited about our cast.
Yeah.
I think this is
our two-parter.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really great. When we read this poster, and I really liked it. And also what we should point out is that we've got a bunch of casts waiting to be recorded. Lots and lots and lots. So we've got Mark helping us with getting that content put together. And we're going to continue to keep recording. We're just going to add a new stream because a lot of you guys are executives now, or you're about to be. So I want to help get you prepared.
I mean, for the last 7 years since I've been doing this, I've been asked, what's the next level? What comes after Manager Tools? Some of you have been listening for years. You know all this stuff. You're like, okay, what next? I know the Trinity. Next is Exec Tools. And you've got to become a licensee for that.
Yeah. And today, for those of you who are not yet there, we are going to be discussing how to communicate in advance of a miss, because missed deadlines create risks beyond just the deliverable owner having to scramble. One of the hidden aspects of work tasks is that tasks themselves have embedded in them the responsibility to communicate about status. And it's almost never true that a task owner only knows he's missed after the missed. We know before. Mm-hmm. The answer is to communicate about status in advance.
All right. So our outline for today's task is first, telling your team missed deadlines require advanced communication. Then the task owner communicates as soon as practicable. Then we'll talk about the basics of deliverables, deadlines, and communication, inclusive of the fact that deadlines are going to be missed. Deliverables work better than tasks. No deliverable longer than 1 week. Shorter deliverables are better. And owning a deliverable means owning the communications about it. So let's start by talking about the communications to our team that they ought to be communicating with us in advance. All of us come to work knowing there's work to be done. But in another gaping hole in our knowledge about how organizations and teams work, we never learn the basics of tasks and projects and the necessity of communication within our organizations. Now, what that means is it's completely normal for our team members to not know how to create, provision, and deliver tasks, nor do they know how to communicate about them. That means that we, as managers, we've got to teach them to do that. Something specifically that we are thinking about or we're predicting, our prediction, one of our predictions at Manager Tools here, is that we believe this problem of lack of people understanding what's expected of them within the organizational sphere is only going to get worse.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If, as more managers, we're not teaching people and telling them that these are the expectations. And at some point, that means companies are going to be start teaching these kinds of basics in entry-level classes for new employees while they're being onboarded. And in addition, we should mention, we also think that they should probably add some things about just standard professionalism and ethics while they're there. I mean, while you're holding a class, you'd might as well. But
just a suggestion.
Just a suggestion. Throwing it out there. It's an idea. But again, we do predict that they're going to have some of these classes and organizations. Until they do, though, that's our responsibility.
Yeah, we're here for you. And I'm thinking constantly about our delegation guidance and how I always say, if your directs get promoted and they don't know how to do this, people are going to wonder what you were teaching them while they worked for you. And the same is true here. This is something that if you teach your directs to do these things, then the person who inherits your directs or the people who work around them in the future when they no longer belong to you are going to benefit from that. And as managers, we're always setting an example, right? It's your behavior is going to be watched. It's going to be evaluated. And if you're doing it correctly, then your directs are going to get some of this learning. You also have to educate them. You also have to make sure that they know, hey, this is how we do it. Effective managers take time to do this, to teach their directs, both by example and through educating them, right? Announcing and explaining and instilling the right professional knowledge in their people. It doesn't matter if your organization sees it this way or not. You get to run your team as you see fit. Also, I would argue it's your responsibility to manage your team this way. Mm-hmm. And we promise this is what your CEO wants because he's or she is thinking about these things from that level, not at the level that we've – see, it's hard too because as you're coming up in the ranks, your experience is in reverse of where this is being thought out, right? The CEO is thinking of it. So we're just going to help – get everybody on that level of thought because this isn't just what's expected of you. It's also what your role power demands of you.
Absolutely. All of this then, it just starts with some basic communications. How many times can we say it? More communication is better. To your directs about how you expect work to get accomplished. The easiest way, in fact, the most efficient way to do this is just to brief your team in your weekly staff meeting. And, or alternatively, I suppose, you could also deliver the message individually, for example, in your individual one-on-ones, which allows you to take into account their different abilities, their different responses, their different responsibilities in terms of communication, but that takes longer. So, let's start first then by talking about how we might address it in the staff meeting. Now, before we do that, I am going to mention the fact that the next part here, we're going to read a script of how you might brief your team. The briefing script is long, and if you're a licensee, you've got access to show notes. We'd recommend you print them off so that you can read them, create your own dialogue from them if you're not yet a licensee. We'd recommend you become a licensee because taking transcription of what I'm about to say next is quite long,
yeah,
and detailed and is far more than you should be writing down or than you have time to write down. So here we go. If we were doing it in a staff meeting, you might say it like this. Folks, we're going to start communicating more about our status. We've got lots of work. Much of that work is interconnected. The task I'm working on, Joseph is waiting for to get his tasks done. What Antonia's doing, Gerald will use for upcoming deliverables. We all have plenty of work, and there are going to be times when we miss deadlines. That's going to happen, and I understand it. I miss deadlines just like you do. I think missed deadlines are kind of a taboo. Nobody wants to admit it, but we all know it's true. Deadlines are going to be missed. Because that's seen as a negative, what most of us do is not talk about deadlines when we're going to miss. We figure if we're going to miss, there's no sense in getting in trouble in advance of making that miss. We do our best, but in the end, we end up red on the task. And now other people's work is put at risk. The problem with that is our fear of the missed deadlines means we don't tell anybody. And it makes it more likely that we create risk to other people's work. And I'd like us to change that. So from now on, I want us to all commit to communicating in advance of when we think we're going to miss a deadline. You have my word, you won't be punished in advance for notice of a potential miss. I know if it were me, I'd not want to admit my upcoming failure, knowing I was going to get in trouble for telling everybody and then missing the deadline too. Think of it this way. If you knew a task you were relying on being done was at risk, wouldn't you want to know? Of course you would. We all would. It might make you change your priorities, work on something else, knowing that you'll be waiting around for that other task to be completed. So, if you think you're going to miss a deliverable, say so. Tell me and those other people that you might think are reasonably affected by the miss about the potential of its miss. If there's a project board or a website, let's make note of it. If you're likely going to miss, mark the tasks as read before the deadline. Use your best judgment. I trust you. What's funny about this is that we all know we're going to have misses at times, but we're all keeping quiet about it. We do it ourselves, and that makes us wonder about what the status of some of our project work is relative to others' work that might very well be late as well. And again, use your best judgment. I trust you. I'm not going to be upset about communicating in advance. I'd so much rather know about it than find out about it afterward, when perhaps we could have made some changes or applied some additional resources to keep us all on track. What I want to stop from happening is me and everyone else finding out we're behind after we're already behind. When that happens, there's less we can do about it. Be honest about your status, and we'll all get more done.
Yeah.
Folks, the world is opening back up. On June 22nd and 23rd of this year, we are hosting an in-person Chicago Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference. For those of you who are in Chicago, it'd be easy. For those of you who are able to travel, you can fly in. We always prefer the in-person events because we get more questions. There's a chance to stick around afterwards. You get it all in one day, and that feels better, according to an awful lot of people. But there's both out there, and you could choose what you want. If you want to do in-person, Chicago, June 22nd and 23rd. Come to the website to register. Hope to see you there.
I think with this stuff, sometimes it's hard to remember that your work is going to be consumed by somebody else, because you work, especially we're remote, so we work on
especially remote
in this kind of vacuum, and then you kind of forget, oh gosh, you know, someone else is going to use this. But we also think on the flip side about other people's work. You think about the work that's being done over there. You think, gosh, I hope they get that on time. It's a little bit like the golden rule. If you think you're going to miss a deadline, your obligation as a professional is to let others know about it. Mm-hmm. This is seriously, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You'd want to know if someone had something you were relying on and it was going to be late, or there was at risk of being late, you'd want to know. So think about that, consider that from the other side. And imagine if you found out, hey, it was at risk a week ago and you could have helped.
Yeah.
Because you were waiting. That's what kills me. It's like I find out later that someone was waiting on me, so they weren't at full capacity. And now, you know, I didn't help. So we want to focus on the resources being applied appropriately. And we can't do that without the information or the communication.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No one can help you if you don't say you need help.
Yes.
And there might be other people. I mean, I think that all the time at Manager Tools. There might be other people that I could help right now. So the answer is say to people, hey guys, I got bandwidth. Anybody need help? I could jump in and assist. I've got a couple hours here. What can I do?
Yeah, Wendy's really good at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lack of communication doesn't allow for the work to be spread evenly amongst our team members. We need more communication. Now, the problem most of us have is really with admitting that something's at risk, because for most of us, we're afraid of getting in trouble twice. First for the comms, the potential, and then later, probably, the miss. So instead, we don't let anybody know in advance. We probably don't even announce that we've missed. We wait for a project or a status meeting, and we hope that not too big a deal is made about it at the meeting. But guys, that's only true if people do get in trouble from communicating that a deliverable's at risk. And we're the ones as managers who have the ability to change whether or not trouble is given for the advanced warning.
Yeah.
As managers, let's change it. As managers, instead, let's change it so that other people know letting us know is a way we can avoid the miss in the first place, and they won't see negative repercussions for the advanced warning we're there to support.
Right. If you tell me and everybody else now, maybe we can help.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a little bit just different for your team, because different teams communicate status very differently. And there's a lot of like shared boards and status places. And we have that too, right?
Yep.
We have what we call Cypress, which is this just monster spreadsheet that keeps us all on track.
We did a Cypress podcast, I think, once.
Yeah. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's so great. And I love Cypress.
In fact, I'm sorry, Kate. Let me interject quickly. A quick segue is, since we've recorded that Cypress podcast, a change we've made to the deadlines, which is in relation to a comment I just said, was we've changed the deadlines such that they now go red the day they are due, so that people know. I mean, we, like all of the other organizations, have come to realize that within the context of our environment, people aren't identifying risk based on what appears amber, which causes gaps. I mean, there's the weekend, for example. We all leave and, oh, everything was amber when I left on Friday. And then you sit down on Monday and you're like, how come everything's so red? It's because it didn't feel at risk, didn't appear at risk when we left on Friday. So we've actually changed our internal tracking system so that those deadlines go red sooner and give us more warning of potential risk.
Yeah. It's been really helpful. It's helped us to move, I think, our focus further I guess, closer to the current date, not further than. And listen, y'all, we recommend that not only do team members update their status on any shared status documents, like Cypress, we also recommend that you notify others, though not necessarily everyone, of the risk. Because what happens is if you update it on the sheet, that's only passive. And we actually do this. We put notes in our tracking sheets that say, you know, here's why this is, and usually it's like, here's why this isn't very much at risk. In fact, what it's really saying is we've done some work here and it's not done yet. It's passive. And it makes the person who's putting in the note feel I've done my job, except that requires some people to go and check. And to be honest with you, I think there's a situation where as long as it's Amber, people don't really check the notes, or they don't check it until there's a mechanism for that, which is usually the status meeting.
Yes,
so people ignore it. And if the status meeting is after the miss, then suddenly we've put ourselves in a position where our communication wasn't valuable because people didn't use it to make a change to their behavior. And also, what could even happen is that the status meeting could be before the miss. So in the status meeting, everything looks peachy keen. And then by the time the next meeting comes, lo and behold, we have actually missed. Passive communication of the risk does not cause people to behave actively. If you are not being active about your communication, you're not going to get a lot of activity.
Correct.
We want active communication in order to cause this activity because we're not looking to make air cover here. We're not looking to politically put ourselves in a positive position. We want assistance, right? It's like, hey, we need attention over here on this work. If we need it, if it's something we can focus on, the point isn't to follow the letter of the law or the letter of the guidance and update the board. The point is to alert the team so that decisions can be made, or again, we can garner activity and apply resources to the task to get it back to green. The letter of the law says communicate, but the spirit of the law is to protect the work product or the project from failure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, all this talk of trouble of, we talked about moving up deadlines, we talked about bringing attention to all of these potential misses. If it hasn't occurred to you yet, what you should be feeling right now is that at the heart of this professional approach to communicating our status is trust. If your team has a low degree of trust, it's going to be hard to get them to communicate early about the risk. Again, they're going to be afraid they'll get in trouble twice. They'll be afraid that this is just another measure against which they've been found wanting. And whether people say it or not, I mean, Kate mentioned earlier that it seems sometimes like, I mean, when we're virtual, especially, like we're working in a vacuum, we're actually not working in a vacuum. We're working with other people. And the thing about people is people come with baggage. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but we all come with our own unique set of experiences. And paying lip service and saying, oh, you guys won't get in trouble for letting me know, but then not backing that up with building relationships and building trust means that people who have experiences with previous managers who aren't you means that you might have to overcome some of that.
Mark and I talked about this in a cast that we recorded a few weeks ago where he made the analogy of if you come home late and your spouse says, well, it'd be fine if you just told me that you're going to be late.
Yeah.
And then the next week, you're going to be home late. So you call and you say, hey, honey, I'm coming home late. I'm so sorry. And they say, oh gosh, okay. And they kind of grumble. But then you get home and they grumble again. Mm-hmm. You very quickly learn the lesson of, if I don't tell them the first time, I won't get grumbled at twice. So we're in a position where you may have your directs have to unlearn that. That may be something that they're used to. It may also just be fear. It may be that your directs are just, I don't want to highlight my mistake or something like that. It may be too. I've seen it happen even for myself where you think you've done everything you can. And so you're kind of waiting or you think, well, I've done everything I can. Maybe we're waiting on this other thing and I have to just wait, right? Except that it could be elevated. Part of what I think a lot of managers who we talk to in trainings want is to help their directs. And we actually have an example about this in one of our trainings where it's actually this actual example where someone is sending you early communication. I just had this training earlier today. I just did a group, a feedback session with a group. And what I hear a lot from managers is, I just want to know what's wrong so I can help them. Like they want to do like a fault tree analysis. And that is awesome. It's not always necessary for the manager to go down the whole like rabbit hole of fault tree analysis. And sometimes even the reason it's late is so benign that even if we just knew, then we wouldn't have to do this huge analysis. It's just, okay, well, we need more resources. Again, though, resources cannot be reallocated without the information that they need to be reallocated. Like, I have no way to do that. And if we're going to ask our directs to do this, we have to have established that trust, because if you don't have that trust, this probably won't work out that well. If you have, though, they'll believe you.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh my gosh,
imagine that.
Yeah. My boss, who's worked really hard to communicate with me and make sure that we have a good relationship, is now asking me to communicate professionally. They'll believe you that that this isn't about failure. Rather, it's about risk mitigation.
Yeah.
And in fact, in the example that we teach, we try to encourage people to give positive feedback when their directs communicate early about a missed deadline. And one of the ways that we highlight that is when you communicate about it, there's an impact, which could be, hey, I can fix it. I can help you. I can re-divert things. Right. And
how so can
giving
we
that,
help?
Yeah, giving that positive feedback, it's probably going to allow you to get some traction on the task. Yeah. It first requires your directs to engage in this behavior, though. So we have to encourage them to behave this way. And again, this is, we're operating a bit under the assumption here that you're working to build trust with your directs.
Correct.
Through one-on-ones, manager tools one-on-ones, that you're working to do that. And that once you've built that trust and you've said to them, hey, please let me know in advance, that you're willing to give them that positive feedback. And listen, there's somebody out there who's thinking, well, if I give them positive feedback for communicating early, people are going to be the boy who cried wolf just so they can get positive feedback. Doubt it. Or sometimes people say, well, Kate, if I give him positive feedback for warning me in advance, then he may think that he can miss the deadline.
Yeah, he can always just miss deadlines, though, now.
Yeah, and y'all, this is not a suicide pact. Appreciation of communication is not implicit allowance of not doing your work. Those are two very separate things, right?
Yeah. Assume positive intent.
Yeah, it's, that's kind of like saying if somebody tells me they're going to be late to dinner, they don't have to come.
Yeah.
No, I still expect you to show up at dinner, right? Just because you told me you're going to be late doesn't mean I'm going to sit there and have you not show up.
Right.
That's
exactly
not what we're...
Nonsensical. That's what that is.
It is, but I think there's somebody out there who may be thinking, like, well, if I give him positive feedback,
of course there is.
Then it's cool if he misses a deadline. No, it's really...
Well...
You know, for if you're new to manager tools, you may think that. If you've been here a while, there's no way you think we believe it's okay to miss your deadlines.
Right.
Exactly. That's not this podcast.
That's not this podcast.
That's so
wrong
funny.
Room.
Yeah. Wrong room, dude. I actually was listening to a podcast a couple of years ago that somebody recommended to me. And in the first episode of the podcast, they were telling this story. And they said, if you don't enjoy this story, this podcast isn't for you. And I thought, gosh, that's so helpful. If you're here and you think that it's okay to miss deadlines when you could make them, because deadlines do get missed, then this isn't maybe the podcast
the one for you.
For you. That's not how we don't feel. That's not how we feel about
that's
it.
That's not how it works.
No.
Thanks, everyone. We'll continue our topic next week. Have a good one.